Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so good to be able to join together in worship with you. I'm Steve Thayer, pastor of Calvary Presbyterian Church of Enfield, Connecticut, and we are pleased to offer this opportunity for God's people to worship even though we cannot be together right now. If you would like more information about Calvary Church, you can go to our website at www.calvaryenfield.org. There, as I said, there's information about who we are and what we believe and what we do. You can also there be put on our mailing list to find out other opportunities that there are for nurture and prayer during the week. There is also a place there where you can make a donation to Calvary Online. Even though we are not in the building, God is still at work in and through the people of Calvary Church, and we rely upon the support in prayer and also financial support of our covenant partners and friends, and would ask you to consider how you might support Calvary Church during this time. If you have concern for which you like prayer, you can email it to prayer@calvaryenfield.org. And in that email, you can either just share your concern and it will be prayed for, or if you would prefer someone to pray with you over the phone, you can include your phone number and a couple times when would be convenient, and someone from our prayer team will call you and will pray for you over the phone. Would like to remind the Friends of Calvary Church, part of the Calvary family, to join us for our virtual coffee hour immediately following the initial broadcast of this service. About 10 minutes after the service is first put out on YouTube or finishes on YouTube or Facebook, would invite you to grab a cup of coffee, sign on by Zoom following the email link that was sent out yesterday afternoon. As we prepare as God's people to come to worship, let us join together in prayer. O God, the joy of this day, the hope of every day to come, we have come into your presence to exalt you, glorify you, and worship your holy name. Though we are scattered, unite us in your spirit and make us one. Move in our lives that our words, our actions, and even the secret thoughts of our hearts may be part of your worship in this hour. O God of great power, displayed in the sacrificial love, may all we do be focused on the one who died for us and rose for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to join with me in our call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Let us join together in worship of God in the great hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Let us worship God together.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is your health and salvation. Come all who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad to the Lord above all things, so wondrously reigning, sheltering you under His wings and so gently sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by His gracious ordaining? praise to the Lord who will prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with his love he befriends you. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again, gladly forever adore him.
Let's pray together. Oh God, our great God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to come into your presence to sing praise to you, the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, the lover of our souls, the restorer of our lives. We thank you for who you are in your grace and in your mercy and in your power. We thank you for what you have done and what you've promised us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we do gather together and we ponder anew what you, the Almighty, can do because you, in your love, has befriended us in Jesus. And we pray that as we gather together this morning, that we would truly be drawn closer to you. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond our understanding. And we pray that as we worship you in song and in prayer and in hearing your word, that you would pour into our hearts such love for you, that loving you above all else, we may obtain your precious promises, which exceed all that we can desire. And we pray these things in confidence because of who you are. And we are grateful to be able to sing to you, O God, our great God of power, to Jesus, shower of grace, to the Holy Spirit, your presence with us, that this is our God, and we would worship you now.
Spirit, make me new.
would invite us just to spend a moment or two in the presence of our awesome, loving, gracious God. That as we stand before Him, that we would reflect on His goodness. We would praise Him for His greatness. And we would adore Him for His love and mercy revealed to us in Jesus. Just take a moment in quiet. As we come into the presence of a mighty and a gracious God, we not only reflect upon Your goodness and Your power and Your holiness, but we also remember that we have not given ourselves to You as You gave Yourself for us. And so we would come before You, trusting in Your amazing love, and make our confession. God of birth, God of joy, God of life, we come to You as a people hungry for good news. We have been so focused on the events of our day that we have missed how You are at work all around us. We have so occupied ourselves with our personal needs and pleasures that we have been blind to the joy that You offer us. We have often been so concerned with just getting by in our lives that we have missed the life You set among us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us, gracious God. Open our eyes and our hearts to receive Your gifts of grace. And open our lips and hands to share it with all humanity, that we might be people who not only live the fullness, but who proclaim the fullness of Your kingdom through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And may the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. And we thank You and we praise You that we make this declaration with confidence and hope because of what You have done for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Forever walk.
The natural response to the goodness and glory of God is for us to worship, which we are doing now. But the worship God calls us to is more than just what we do when we are gathered as a community of faith or joining in a service. Paul writes in Romans 12, "I urge you, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." In response to God's amazing love in Jesus Christ, let us worship not only with the songs of our lips or the feelings of our hearts, but by offering ourselves to his purposes, to the glory of Jesus. Amen. As we prepare to come together to hear God's word, let us join in prayer. O God, source of all light, by your word you give light to the soul. Pour out now upon us the spirit of wisdom and understanding that, being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be open to know the things that pertain to life and hope and holiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Scripture reading for this morning is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. And I know that we've dealt with this passage sometime within the last couple months, but we're going to be looking at a section of it in more depth that we didn't before. So listen to God's word. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Here ends our scripture lesson for this morning. And the verses that we will be focusing on are verses 8 and 9. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are being filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." What a glorious promise. Well, in the last few weeks, Melissa and I were privileged to spend 12 days up in the Adirondack Mountains. It was wonderful, very limited internet. We avoided the news, we didn't have a lot of busyness, and instead just kind of relaxed and enjoyed each other and enjoyed family as they came up to visit, and did some hiking and some kayaking and had an all-around good time. But one of the things that I'm always impressed by when we go up there is that at night you can truly see the glory of the night skies with the stars and the constellations and all the rest. Now, the sky is no different there than it is anywhere else, but the reality is that away from the city, away from the light, away from all the distractions, you can see it and its glory all the more clearly. And indeed, we are able to hunt down and find the Neowise comet that was there. Even though its tail is hundreds of thousands of miles long, I don't think we would have been able to see it with the light around us down here. But we were able to find it and truly saw the wonder of that. And oh, by the way, if you missed it, you only have to wait another 6,800 years and it will be back. But that got to me thinking is that very often, or too often, even in our Christian life, the realities that are foundational to us, they're always there, but they can be kind of blocked out by the busyness and the attention that we give to other things, even things within the church. And so over the last several weeks, we have been focusing on that which is foundational for us as God's people. We have been looking at the great salvation that has been revealed by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we've kind of pushed everything else out to the side, we have seen that this is a salvation, first of all, of unmerited favor, as we read in Titus. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, not because we are such good people, not because we have done anything to earn it, but because of His mercy. In His mercy and grace alone we have salvation. Secondly, we saw that this is a salvation of amazing love. Paul once again writes, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That amazing love, free and undeserved, costly, is our great gain. And through the love demonstrated on the cross of Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness and we have hope and we have life. Last time we saw that this is a gospel of eternal hope, of a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, and that we have hope in the promise of God's presence with us. We have hope in God's promises for salvation. We have hope in God's future, and nothing can ever take that hope away. But there is yet another facet of this great salvation, one that speaks to the deepest longing of our souls. For in Christ we have not only been showered with unmerited favor and saved by amazing love and filled with eternal hope, we have also had set before us the promise of unmatched joy. And that's what we see in our lesson for this morning. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy as you are receiving the salvation of your souls. And so we're going to spend a little time looking at the whole concept of joy and how that is central to our understanding and our experience of salvation. And as you see this, we'll see that there's a certain amount of overlap between this and unmerited favor and hope and amazing love. They're all together to make up this great salvation that we have. Well, as we look at joy, we see that joy is a fundamental theme within Scripture. There are over 400 instances of joy in the Bible. And while joy is sometimes expressed over the good things in human life, and God has given us many good things that we are to enjoy, the overwhelming message of Scripture is that joy, deepest joy, truest joy, is related to the presence and the favor of God. Joy is not found by seeking after joy itself. Joy is not located in the transitory things of this world. Joy is found in God and fully experienced in the presence of God and by the grace of God. God Himself is the author and the source of joy. We read the Scriptures and we find that God delights in His glory. He takes joy in what He has made. God delighted in His creation. We read in Genesis, that God saw all that He has made and it was very good. And indeed, the psalmist proclaims, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the the Lord rejoice in his works. God created all things, and he rejoices in all things as he made them. God is the author of joy, and we are created, we're created to live in God's joy. You know, the first question and answer of the Westminster Catechism is this: what is the chief end of man? Well, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We are to give God glory, but we are also to find our enjoyment, our joy in him. As the psalmist wrote, "Whom have I had in heaven but you, and my and earth is nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." See, we are created to find our meaning and our hope and our pleasure and our joy in the God who made us. In the creation account, the first man and the first woman were placed into a world in which where they lived was good. It was pleasing to the eye. They did not dwell in the garden as servants doing the bidding of a demanding taskmaster. But the man and the woman were living in unbroken relationship with God and with each other and with creation. There was joy that was unbounded and eternal in how God had created them and where God had placed them. Well, we all know that that story did not last forever. And the story of the fall is that they sought joy and meaning and purpose and power outside of God's goodness. And in doing so, they discovered that outside the true source, joy was an illusion. And they now had to live by the burden of their efforts all their days. And the story of Scripture is the account of seeking to restore people to the joy of his presence and of his blessing and of his original intent. And we see that in God choosing a people through whom his purposes would be shown. We read in Deuteronomy 10, 14 and following, "To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection," the King James translates it, "the Lord had a delight for your forefathers and loved them. He chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today." And so God has chosen us because he delights in us and he desires us to know that joy. Indeed, as the psalmist proclaims in Psalm 16:11, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." See, when God's people continued to reject joy by rebelling against the God, the promise was of a day when things would be different. The coming of one who would set things right and establish God's righteous and joy-filled kingdom forever. We read that in Isaiah 35, "The ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them." Think about that image. It's not that they're seeking after gladness and joy, but in this coming of the Messiah, this new era of God's kingdom, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. As we turn to the New Testament, we see the beginnings of fulfillment of that promise in Jesus. The very beginning in Luke, in the birth narratives, you know, Jesus has been born, and the story of the angel announcing the good news to the shepherds. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of what? Of great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And Jesus' ministry of proclaiming the kingdom was a ministry of restoring people to the relationship with God in which there is joy. You see, through Jesus, we are restored to that relationship with God. And as you look in the New Testament, it's clear that one of the consequences of conversion, one of the consequences of knowing God through Jesus Christ, is joy. In our lesson for this morning, Peter proclaims an inexpressible, you know, beyond our ability to put into words, and glorious joy which comes to believers in Jesus Christ.
And what is that joy? Well, it's hard to wrap yourself around. You know, there's a sense that though the words for joy are plentiful, there's something elusive about the concept that makes it difficult to grasp. The best thing we can do is look at some of its characteristics. Joy is described in the Gospels as rest for the weary and a lifting of burdens. It is a sense of all rightness, of peace, of shalom, of flourishing that arises from a deep sense of hope and confidence in God and in His faithfulness. The joy of the Lord, this inward sense that of trust, and that because we belong to God, our lives are secure, is proclaimed to be our strength. Joy is a reality that fills a person. It is a gift of God by grace, received by faith. With the gift of salvation, as you know, Peter said, though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. And because you believe in Him by faith, you are filled with an inexpressible and joy and glorious joy. You know, joy comes from the promises and the presence of God. Joy is expressed in worship and in praise and in song, but it's foremost an attitude of the heart that expresses, that trusts and delights in God and in God's good gifts. And we used to sing in Sunday school, I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Not merely when we feel happy that joy is a reality. Joy is both a present and a yet experience. Though we know something of that joy now by faith, it is also something in the future that we will experience in its fullness. John Piper, in his book Desiring God, describes joy as the assurance that when we turn to God, we will find our all-satisfying treasure. We will find our heart's eternal delight. And so that joy is a new taste and a new delight in our hearts, not simply for the things of this world, but for the glory of God and for the beauty of Christ. In the Gospels, the kingdom of God is described as the greatest of treasures for which people joyfully sell everything they have to possess. And so the Christian life, therefore, is not a drab assent to dusty doctrines. It is not a painful conformity to a set of rules or disciplines. It is not a perpetual wailing in sackcloth and ashes. No, it is found, it is joy. Because we have this joy, this assurance, this shalom in our hearts through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ alone.
John Calvin puts it this way in his commentary on Romans, "For when we glory that God is ours, whatever blessings can be imagined or wished ensue and flow out of this fountain," that is the fountain of God's goodness and God's joy. "For God is not only the chief of all good things, but also possesses in Himself the substance and sum of all blessings, and He becomes ours through Christ. And when we attain this by faith, there is nothing wanting to us as to happiness, as to joy." See, in Jesus Christ, God puts a joy in our hearts that will never fail, what will never fade away. You see, I believe over the long run of our life in Christ, what will truly sustain us is not so much our sound doctrine, not our religious rituals, not our dedication or resolve, although all these things are important, but the thing that will sustain us is joy. Not an I'm inside, outside, upside, downside, happy all the time joy that goes on and pretends that everything in the world is just rosy, but a deeply rooted trust and desire and delight in the things of God that we find in Jesus Christ alone. You know, it's interesting to me that this morning's lesson from 1 Peter, which describes inexpressible and glorious joy was written to churches that were facing persecution. Now, the apostle was not saying, you know, just paste on a happy face and endure. But in the midst of that, he pointed to a hope, a desire, a joy that would be able to sustain them even in the midst of trouble and trial. One of the most remarkable passages in the New Testament is from Hebrews 12, where it talks about running the race with perseverance. And he says, you do that. And how do we do that? Well, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What sustained Jesus in the agonizing pain and humiliation of his passion? Well, it wasn't mere obedience. It wasn't grim determination. It was joy, who for the joy set before him. The joy of knowing what would be accomplished. The joy of securing salvation to a fallen humanity. The joy of the resounding glory to the Father for his amazing love. It was that joy and that promise and that hope that sustained Jesus. What can sustain us over the long haul? When life seems to unravel, when what we seem to be doing, what we're doing for God doesn't seem to make sense, when we're just plodding through those dry times in obedience and not seeing much fruit, when we're in the fourth month of a COVID lockdown with it just seems like things falling apart all around us, what will sustain us? Well, I believe that it's joy. And that is why joy is such an important promise in the gospel. I need to understand joy is a work of grace. It's not something that we work up. It's not just, you know, plastering on a Christian happy face. It's not something that we strive to obtain in our own efforts, but it is a reality which comes as we place our trust in Jesus. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As we go through difficult times in our lives and as a church and as a culture, there are many things we need to do and can do, but one of the most important is that we need to hold on to joy. We need to open our hearts to the joy and the confidence that God and God alone can give. We need to move forward in our lives, not sitting there saying, oh, things are horrible, what are we going to do? But in the joy and in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, take steps of faith, take steps of obedience, and walk even in the midst of a difficult time in the joy that God alone can bring. You see, ultimately, we not only have the joy of Christ in our hearts, but we are in a very real way on a journey towards joy, on a journey towards that day and towards that time when our hope in Christ will be sight, when in Christ we will become all that we were redeemed to be. A time in which we will know fully the joy that there is to be found in our Savior. Let us hold on to that joy in our hearts. Let us journey in joy by faith, that we would not only be sustained, but that God can use us as a people who are able to spread that eternal joy to others. And now to our great God and His Son, Jesus Christ, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us continue in our worship of God with a hymn that sings about our journey towards joy, marching to Zion. God of abundant mercy and grace and joy, we thank you and we praise you that as we are on this journey of life with Christ, that you are present with us along the way. We praise you for the refreshment of our souls and for all the good gifts of life that you bring us in Jesus. And especially we thank you for those means by which you refresh us and encourage us and equip us to love you and serve you. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We bless you for the nourishment and the guidance of Scripture. We are grateful for the encouragement that come from friends and faith, those near to us and those who are far away. We especially thank you for the work of your Spirit to bring renewal in our lives, for your strength in living, and for your hope in difficulty. Eternal God, we pray not only for ourselves, but for all who, like us, need your help and healing in their lives. Especially we pray for those who are wearied by their labors. And we thank you, and we think especially of those frontline workers, for doctors and nurses, for first responders, for law enforcement, who are wearied by the labor of their lives and particularly by their labors in this season. We pray for those who are worn out by grief and sorrow, for the bereaved, and for those who have faced various losses in their lives. We pray for those who are suffering in body or in mind, for the ill or the recovering, for the lonely and for the isolated. Especially, we remember those whom we name in our hearts before you now. Remember us, O God, so that we may not forget you. As we walk this life of faith, direct our steps in discipleship and protect our souls in joy, that we may be steadfast in your service, because we are secure in your love, which we know in Jesus Christ our Savior, who taught his people to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You are a people who are created in joy, who are redeemed for joy, and who are on a journey towards eternal joy in our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember who you are. You are a people of joy. And as we walk through a world that is increasingly crazy, and as we go through things in our lives that are sometimes exceedingly difficult, remember who you are and hold on to the joy that you have by faith in Jesus Christ, that your joy may sustain you, and that your joy may release you to be people who spread the joy of the gospel to those around you. And now go in peace, love, and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.